Good afternoon, church. I'd also like to say welcome to any visitors that we have this afternoon. You are an honored guest, and if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, it is our hope and prayer that you would become a member today. Everyone here, pretty much, my name is Brother Smith. If you're visiting, my name is Brother Robert Smith. I've been a member here at Highland Heights for about 4 years now. And I've been in the ministerial class being taught by Brother Tommy Brooks. One of my brothers, they were preaching from the ministerial class, and I was sitting behind someone that made the comment, why do these guys always give Brother Brooks and all these guys credit? But they are living right now, and now's my time to give them the flowers that are due to them. And I greatly appreciate Brother Brooks, Brother Stroud, Brother Floyd Smith. I thank you guys for taking time out of your lives to teach us. And it's very important to me, and I'm speaking for also the other brothers in our class. I thank you all very much. But I'm so thankful to God, first of all, to be able to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you all have everything under control? You have no struggles in life, no sorrows, no pain, no worries. Everything is good. I work with a guy. He often comes by and says, is everything going your way today? And I just give him a look like, no, is everything supposed to be going my way? I'm like, maybe I need to reexamine myself. And you have others that say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. But if you live in this life, you're going to encounter some stress. And I'm living proof. I have high blood pressure, and I take medication every day to keep that down. But if everything is going your way, you're too blessed to be stressed, maybe I should just pack it up and head back to the house, because this message may not be for you. But if there's anyone in here that's going through trials and tribulations, storms of this life, this sermon is for you. So maybe should I stay? All right, we'll stick around. Let's see what we got here. A preacher once, he said, you're either going through one of three phases in life right now. And this is not Bible, but I've lived long enough to see that this may be true, a true statement, and you may find that to be true as well. He says, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or he said, brace yourself because a storm is headed your way. And I believe that to be true. And each and every one of us in this room, we're going through something. It may not be a full-out hurricane. It might just be a little rain, a light mist. It may not be a tornado. But we all are going through a something. We have high blood pressure. I know some of you got sugar, diabetes. Some of us, heart problems and cancer that we're dealing with. Arthritis, tendonitis, and probably some other itises after eating. You're probably ready to go to sleep. But we all have troubles and pains in this life. Even some mental. Some we have a little touch of dementia, could be leading to Alzheimer's. We forget things. Some of us are bipolar. Man, we act one minute we're one way, and the next minute you're another person. Even the lessons that we've been taught over post-traumatic stress. Some of us were dealing with things that have happened in our past, and that's a great lesson, Brother Brooks. Thank you. That still affect us today. Things even in our childhood that we're going through, we're dealing with, that are still sore to us. And flu, my mom's, I think, has a little severe, allergies right now. I think she had to go to the doctor yesterday. Flu, pneumonia, I believe someone has pneumonia here. I have an aunt that she has severe migraines at times, headaches so bad that it feels like somebody's pounding inside of her head. And just life, bringing life into this world. We had two new babies, a baby Journey, and I just saw little Dallas back there. We got even bringing life into this world, it struggles with that. Trying to raise your kids, we try to teach them right, and then they get older and they turn left. I don't know what's going on. We try to teach them right, but they make a left turn. Being a Christian in this world and going to work every day among some of the most ungodly people that say some of the most outlandish things, and we have to deal with it on a daily basis. So this is our life. We have trials, struggles, tribulations that we deal with on an everyday basis, but I want to say to you this afternoon, amidst your trials, your tribulations, whatever storm you're going through in this life, my message to you is one of encouragement. I want to encourage you to keep trusting in the Lord, to remain patient, because God delivers. And we'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll go through verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, I didn't say that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And if I have, go ahead and read that for me.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even life.
But we hold it right there. So this is the Apostle Paul in his travels. He's trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he's encountered some trouble in his journey. So much trouble that he felt as if he was pressed out of measure. And some of us in our trials today, sometimes we feel that we're at our end. Like we've reached as far as we can go in dealing with this situation. He also says that he was overpowered, above strength. He was overpowered by his troubles, insomuch that he felt that he despaired of his own life. He felt that his life was on the line. And I don't know if any of us have had trials where we could see life and death right before our eyes and don't know what the outcome is going to be. But let's keep reading. Let's see how Paul deals with this situation.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead.
All right. So here's Paul. He's teaching us here not to trust in our own ability, because to do so is a death sentence. To believe that I have the power to deliver myself through my trials and situation is a death sentence, church. So let's see who he trusts in. How does he get out of this situation? He says,
who delivered us from so great a debt and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
So he says not to trust in our own abilities, but the one who raised the dead. That could only be God. So he's telling us to continue to trust in God. And I want to give you today three reasons why you should continue to trust in God. In verse 10, he said, who delivered us, which is past tense, from so great a death. So my first point is he delivered in the past. God has delivered in the past. And I love the Old Testament because we have many stories there that show God's track record when it comes to delivering his people. The God that we serve is undefeated in deliverance. Let's take a look. We have several stories. God delivered Noah from destruction through the ark. Amen. God delivered Joseph from the hands of his brothers, then from Potiphar's wife. And even in prison, he was exalted above others in prison. He delivered Joseph. God delivered Lot, amen, and his family from destruction of Sodom. Saved the wife, but all she had to do was what God told her to do. So God delivered Moses as an infant. And then he turned and used Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, amen? Yeah. So God has an undefeated track record in delivering his people. God also delivered Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den because he chose to worship the Lord rather than King Darius. And God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Amen?
Amen.
But my favorite story in the Old Testament there, if you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, we'll look at verses 17 and 18. God delivered three Jewish boys that King Nebuchadnezzar named these boys Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, we got some people paying attention. I was making sure you guys were awake. Your Bible should say Abednego. Amen. All right, so he delivered them from a fiery furnace. They refused to bow down to a 99-foot golden image. Amen. King Nebuchadnezzar threw them in, but they came out unharmed because the God in whom they trusted sent his angel to deliver them. Amen.
Amen.
But it's their response to the king that I want you to take a look at. Their response. Can you read verse 17 for me?
If it be so.
If it be so. I think we need to go back because it could get us in trouble. What? If it be so. Go back to the prior verse to that, verse 16.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
So the it is this matter. So now we need to find out what the matter is. But their response here, they're saying that we're not going to tiptoe around you with our answer. We're not afraid of the outcome. So let's find out what this matter is. Can you go to the prior verse to that? Verse 15.
Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
All right, so we see the it is this matter. Now, this matter is the threat of King Nebuchadnezzar threatening to throw them into the fiery furnace. This is the matter. So he says in verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve,
is able to
deliver us
from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king.
So in this verse, they're acknowledging God's power. They had total confidence in God's ability to deliver them from King Nebuchadnezzar. They were not wavering in their faith. If it be so, if this is what you plan to do, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not serve your God. We will continue to trust in our God. Read verse 18 for me.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
So no matter the circumstance in this life, we should have the same attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We should continue to trust in the power of God to deliver us, have total confidence in God's ability to deliver, and not worry about what this world can do to us. Amen. So we should, if we take an honest look at our own lives, we should be able to look back and reflect and see that God has delivered us through some things in our past. Amen?
Amen.
All right, which brings us to reason number two. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's go back to verse 10. He says, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. And doth deliver. That is present tense. He is currently in the process of delivering us from our trials and tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
So each one of us is dealing with something. Life's issues. When dealing with these issues, the worst thing that we could do is to isolate ourselves from the church, to stop assembling with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to stop worshiping the God who has the power to deliver you from whatever you're going through. Amen. The same God who has the power to give us comfort in our storm. Amen? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. It's the same chapter, chapter 1. Let's look up further, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What did he call him? The Father of what?
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep reading.
The Father of mercies.
The Father of what?
Mercies.
Keep reading.
And the God of all comfort.
The God of some comfort.
All comfort.
The God of a little bit of comfort.
All comfort.
All comfort. The God that we serve not only is the Father of mercies, but he is the God of all comfort. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to give you three ways that God comforts us while we're traveling through here. Brother Stroud preached this, I want to say, a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to retouch it as well. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 shows how the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, helps us. Can you read that for me? Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
So, amen, we have comfort of the Holy Spirit, amen. Comfort number two comes from Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4.
For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Amen. So we receive not only comfort from the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for us in prayer, but point number two, we get comfort in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
And point number three comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 through 7. Let me get there as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 through 7.
Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all tribulation.
All right, so this is Apostle Paul. He's still talking about his travels, and he's troubled in his travels. He says, great is my boldness of speech. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. Why is he filled with comfort? He also says, I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulations. Why is he joyful in the time of tribulation? Keep reading for me.
For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears.
All right, doesn't that sound like us today? He felt as if he was troubled on every side. He said, without were fightings. He said, within were fears. But how does a man that has trouble on every side, fears and fightings, how does he have so much comfort that he's joyful in his tribulation? Keep reading.
Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus.
All right, so he received comfort from his brother, Titus. He got comfort from his brother in Christ. Keep reading.
And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more.
So not only did he gain comfort from his brother, Timothy, but he also had comfort from Timothy's source of comfort. He was comforted from other brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a comfort to know that other brothers and sisters are thinking of me when I'm down.
Amen.
It's a great comfort to know that I'm on their mind. I'm sorry, I got my words twisted. It is a comfort to know that I'm on somebody's mind. Amen.
Amen.
And comfort from our brothers and sisters, we can't underestimate that. Mm-hmm. We cannot underestimate that. So God doth deliver us. He's in the process of delivering us at this very moment. We could have been anywhere this evening, right? We could have been watching the football this evening. But if you can't see that God is working on you because you chose to be here at worship, you chose to worship the Father of mercies this afternoon. You chose to come back and worship the God of all comfort this afternoon. This afternoon, you've been singing praises and glorifying the Father. Amen. You had communion, remembering his Son. Amen. You had an opportunity to give back to the Father as you have prospered. Amen. You're currently now hearing another portion of God's word. And we just learned that God's word is a comfort. Amen.
Amen.
You've also had prayer to the Father. Amen. We know that the Holy Spirit intercedes in prayer. So we've already been comforted twice. Amen. Here among the saints is an opportunity to get encouragement to keep going. It's an opportunity to get consolation. Amen. And it's also an opportunity to be comforted. Amen. So why, in the time of trial, would you forsake the assembly? Amen. God doth deliver. Which brings us to the third reason why we should continue to trust in the Lord, to remain patient, because God will yet deliver us in the future. Amen? God will yet deliver us in the future. So based on my life, God has delivered me in the past. I can currently see God working in my life right now. So I, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I should have complete and total trust that the Lord will yet deliver me in the future. Amen?
Amen.
So let's turn to Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
All right, so we should rejoice in the fact that we have hope now. Our hope comes through Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that I now have access to the Father, amen? It is also through Jesus Christ that I'm justified by faith. It is also through Jesus Christ that I have peace with God. Amen? Keep reading verse 3.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
All right. So not only should I joy in the fact that I have hope through Jesus Christ, amen, I should also rejoice in the time of tribulation, knowing that my tribulation worketh patience, amen. It's because of this tribulation that I'm going through, I don't have any control over it, but I know who does have control.
Amen.
That's God. So I know that the only way I'm going to get through this situation is if I continue to wait on God to deliver me.
Amen.
And as I wait on God to deliver me from my situation, I gain patience. Amen.
Amen.
And keep reading what comes after we gain patience.
And patience, experience.
Okay, so as I go through this trial and I learn to wait on the Lord, I now gain experience. I gain experience, which I also can teach to another brother or sister who is going through the same thing. And now I'm a source of comfort to my brother and sister that started in this tribulation here, but they also learned to trust and wait on God because that's the only one who can deliver you. And now this, my brother and sister now, they have patience, amen?
Amen.
So through my experience, I was able to comfort my brother or sister, and now they've learned to wait on the Lord, and now they have experience where they too can help another brother or sister in Christ, amen? And what else do we gain after we gain the experience?
An experience, hope.
So now that I've seen how God has worked in my life in the past, right? He delivered me from my trial. He's given me patience. He's given me experience. And now because I've seen and experienced how God has delivered me in the past, I have all hope in the future that he will deliver me from my trials again and again and again.
Amen.
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 So let's recap. I firmly believe that as we live this life, we're in one of three phases of life. We're either in the storm, we're coming out of a storm, or brace yourself, a storm is headed your way. Amen? God has delivered in the past. The Old Testament shows us how God has delivered. And if you look in your own life, you can see that God has delivered you in the past. Amen? God is delivering us right now. He's currently giving us comfort. We have comfort through the Holy Spirit. We have comfort through his holy and divine word, and we have comfort through others in Christ. Amen? So because of our past, because of the present, we now have hope that God will deliver us in the future. Amen? We've also learned don't trust in our own abilities because it's a death sentence. But in all of our trials, temptations, tribulations, the storms of this life, we must trust in the Lord, remain patient, because through patience, we gain experience. With experience, we have hope, knowing that our God will deliver us. Amen?
Amen.
But it's a beautiful thing to know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4 and 15, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, amen, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's wonderful to serve a Lord who knows all about our struggles. It's wonderful to have a Savior, a high priest, that knows about this life that we're living. He was betrayed. He was tried in courts. He was sentenced to death. He was scourged beyond recognition. He was nailed to the old rugged cross. He died on that cross, but not without bloodshed. Amen?
Amen?
Through the scourging, he shed blood. Carrying his crossbar, he shed blood. When they nailed him to the cross, he shed blood. Even after he died, he was pierced in his side, and out came blood and water. Amen?
Amen?
He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He became head of the body, which is the church, according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There's only one church, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 4. He purchased the church with the very same blood that he shed, which gives Christ complete ownership of the church. Amen. According to Acts 20 and 28, the church was purchased with his blood. Amen. So the descriptive name of the church, the name that gives Christ the glory for making that purchase with his blood, the name that shows Christ to be the rightful owner of the church, amen, is found in Romans 16 and 16, the church of Christ, amen. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak in the name of Jesus this afternoon. I pray that I've said some things that will be able to encourage you in this life to continue to trust in the Lord. I thank you for being attentive. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Brother Brooks. He has some things he would like to say. Again, I thank you for your time.
Amen.